The scripture this morning will be from Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm very glad to be here this morning and very thankful for the opportunity I have to be with you. My name is Kyle Lancaster. I'm 22 years old from St. Mary's, West Virginia. I normally attend Dewey Avenue Church of Christ. And if you attend WP, you might have saw me in the hallways because I go there for elementary education. And I'll be graduating here on May 7th. And I'll also have specializations in middle school. But I'm very thankful for the opportunity I have and the opportunity that's been afforded to me by the elders to speak. This morning we're going to look at the idea that I believe is found here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If I ask you that question here this morning, I assume I would get the answer, Kyle, I would not exchange anything for my soul. I would not exchange money. I would not exchange anything. You lay it on the table, I won't exchange anything for my soul. But we know every day that individuals do make that exchange. Every day people will make that exchange for their soul. But we understand that the soul is our most precious thing that we have. This morning we are going to be looking at the value of a soul. First, I want to make three quick observations about the Christian life. Three very quick observations. One, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." My question to us this morning is, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because the Bible says we shouldn't be ashamed. And when we think about it, it's a crazy idea that we believe that the gospel is saving us, but yet we are ashamed to tell other people about it. That we are ashamed that we believe that Jesus Christ came to this world, lived the life he did, died and was raised from the dead, and has a plan to save us all. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? At Dewey Avenue Church of Christ, we have some parents that are now becoming grandparents. And I tell you what, they love their grandchildren. They are the exact opposite of ashamed of those grandchildren. They carry pictures in their wallet, and every opportunity they have, they say, "Oh, look at my grandbaby. Aren't they so precious?" But do we do the same thing with Christ? When it comes down to it, when we are with our peers, when we are in the workplace, when we are in different places in our lives, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? The first observation is Christians should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The second observation we find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." In some versions, it says a defense. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if people come to us asking about the gospel, asking about Christ, asking about what we're doing with our lives, we should have an answer. Observation number three. In Matthew chapter 15, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, says, "And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not will be condemned." So we see as Christians we're supposed to go. And when I put these three observations together, I see an interesting picture. An interesting picture of Christians is we should not be ashamed of the gospel. If someone comes to us, we should be able to answer their questions and we should be going. So the question is why aren't we doing those things? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? If someone comes to us, are we ready to answer their questions? But it's not only people coming to us, because a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ like to be stagnant and they say, "Well, if someone comes to me, I'll answer their questions." But the Bible also tells us to go. Go into all the world. And yet so many of us will hide. In summary, we have to honestly ask ourselves and evaluate ourselves and say, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because the Bible clearly tells us if someone comes to us, we need to answer their questions. And the Bible also tells us we should be going into the world and spreading the gospel. And we get back to this idea in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, which we started with. The value of a soul. Can you put a price tag on it? Would you exchange anything for your soul? And I'm certainly many of us will say we won't exchange anything for our soul. But the question I want to flip is we see two questions in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. And I want to flip the second one a little bit. The second one says, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Here's the question flip. What will you exchange for someone else's soul? And I think what you will find as many times throughout our lives is we have decided to exchange something that we value for someone else's soul. We have decided your soul isn't worth this. And we're going to look through three of those today. Because a lot of people come up with excuses why they're not doing their Christian job, why they're not answering questions, why they're not going into the world. But we know that the soul is priceless, so we have to ask ourselves, why are we stopping? And what are some things that are holding us back? I think many times what Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, will do is that we will exchange popularity for someone else's soul. We will exchange popularity, favor in other people's eyes, eyes of our peers, eyes of our friends, eyes of our family. We will exchange that for someone else's soul. We would rather have the relationship here on earth with these people than tell them the truth. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we exchanging popularity for people's souls that are around us? I think it's an interesting idea that many Christians expect to be liked. And when we look at the Bible, we're a little bit confused because we see, well, we're supposed to love our neighbor, we're supposed to love God, we're supposed to do good to all, especially those of the household of faith, and we question why people don't like us. But really, the answer is quite simple. All we have to do is look at the pattern of the Bible. One thing we need to understand is that Jesus was not popular. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world hated Jesus. And somehow we expect a different reception when we try to spread the gospel. Let me tell you a little secret. Jesus is way better than me. I make mistakes up here. I've made too many mistakes. And I get irritated when I make mistakes. But I suggest to you that Jesus presented the gospel in a perfect way. And he had miracles to back it up. And what did they do to him? They said, crucify him, hang him on a cross, whip him, beat him, put nails through his hands. And when we say we want to be Christ-like and do Christ-like things and we go out into the world, do we expect to be liked? I'm not saying we need to look for a fight. I'm not saying we need to look to make people irritated or angry. But when I look at Christ's example, why would I expect a different reception? And yet so many Christians will. And many Christians will go back as they start spreading the gospel and they're like, well, people aren't liking me. They're rejecting me. They're turning their backs on me. They're leaving me. That's what they did to Jesus. Are we exchanging popularity or favor in people's eyes for someone else's soul? Jesus did. We see another group of people that did it. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, it said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Why do we expect a different reception than the prophets? Men and servants of God who told people what God wanted them to hear. People lied about them. People persecuted them. People did all kinds of things against them. And then we expect when we go out into the world that we are going to receive a different reception than the prophets if we do our job. The reality is that many people will make this exchange. They make it in relationships. They make it with their peers. They make it in the workplace. They make it at college. Is that I don't want to be disliked. I don't want to lose this earthly relationship. So I'm not going to tell them the truth. I am not going to tell them the gospel. Do we expect a different reception than the Christians did that we see throughout Acts? Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through 6, it says, "But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob and set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring him out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" See, when we do what Christians do, you might be surprised about the reception that you get. Because you're going to get the reception that Jesus got. You're going to get the reception that the prophets got. And you're going to get the reception that New Testament Christians got in the New Testament. If we go out and we try to tell people the truth, it's not going to be well received. Sometimes it will be. Our job is to sow. But so many people will decide to make that trade. I want these earthly relationships. I don't want to jeopardize them, so I'm not going to tell anybody. I remember a young girl I was studying with at church camp. She came. She was friends with another Christian that I knew. And we were studying with her. And she basically, after we had studied, she had basically told us exactly what we see in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. It was when King Agrippa says, "I'm almost persuaded." She basically said that almost word to word to me. She said, "I'm almost you persuade me to become a Christian." But she said, "My hesitation is, I want to go talk to my parents." Well, she went and talked to her parents. And her parents said, "If you do this, you're out of the house. You cannot come back if you do this." And she did not make that decision. A lot of people make that exchange. Is they'll rather have their worldly relationships here on this earth than have a relationship with God. But the thing is twofold. We have to look at ourselves. And are there people in our lives where we say, "I don't want to talk to that person about the gospel because I'll lose my relationship with them." Could be a spouse. Could be a friend. I have a friend that I had throughout high school. Still have him today. Point guard of our basketball team. Love him to death. Over the years, our relationship has frayed and frayed and frayed. Why? Because I talk to him about the gospel. I will not let it go. I can't let it go. But many people will. Because they say, I don't want that relationship to sever. I don't want it to end. But if I don't tell him the truth, he doesn't have a chance at eternity. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we exchanging popularity for someone's soul? And it's a question we have to ask on a daily basis. I think there's something else that sometimes we exchange for other people's souls, and that is comfort. Is that we like to be comfortable. A lot of people don't like to engage in Bible studies with other people. They think it's intimidating, they're scared they'll make mistakes, and basically you can just sum it up in fear. They don't like being uncomfortable and spreading the gospel. We have to have our priorities straight as Christians. We have to really get this right. What is our main goal as we live throughout this life and we're trying to do what Christ wants us to do? See, Paul told us his view of life in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. He says, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul says, "I am having an issue here. My issue is I want to go home and be in heaven with Christ." But he said, "The reason I am hard pressed between the two is I want to stay and tell people they're in danger. I want to help and preach the gospel." But so many people lose perspective of both those things. A lot of people's main desire is not to get to heaven. A lot of Christians I know fear death, even though we see that that's taught against in the Bible, really, that Christians did not fear death. When we die, we get to go home. We get to go home. I wanted to die, not that I'm suicidal, but I've wanted to die ever since I became a Christian. I want to go home. What's the thing that's holding me here? People that are lost. People that I can influence as I go throughout this life and live it. Whether it be in the workplace, whether it be at college, whether it be wherever. But a lot of us get uncomfortable and we lose perspective of our priorities. The reality is we are sowers. And it's hard work to sow the seed. We read about the parable and the sower and the explanation of it in Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. It's hard work to be a sower. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's like, I'm trying, and I see no results. Our job is just to plant the seed. But many of us, I fear, have taken our seeds and we hold them to ourselves, say, I'm not going to plant. Well, why aren't you going to plant? Well, because I don't want to lose this relationship. Or it's hard to plan. It's not comfortable. It's not easy to do. I have to really know my Bible to do that. A lot of people aren't comfortable doing that. But we are sowers. A lot of people get discouraged by the results, but we have to keep going. We have to realize that God is on our side. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. When he sent him out, he said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. God is with us. Do we exchange our comfort for other people's souls? I remember talking to an individual, he's from India, and he was preaching at a gospel meeting in a house. And word got out in this town, and a mob formed up. And the mob came down the road, and they were after him for preaching the gospel. Trying to recall the story as best I can, they hid him in a closet, they searched, they left. He realized it wasn't safe. He went out, got on his motorcycle. They saw him and they chased him all the way to the embassy, pretty much. Are we exchanging our comfort for other people's souls? I like that story because I personally have never been in that dire of a situation. People trying to kill me. Now, I've had people say a lot of, they've said things similar to that. But I've never had people actually chase me and tends to do that. Have we become comfortable? You know, when I think of that story, it becomes a lot easier to think, maybe I can talk to my neighbor about the gospel. You know, so many times we talk about some foreign land where we need to get the gospel. The gospel is sometimes in our homes. That's where it's needed. Sometimes it's needed right next door. Sometimes it's needed in our town. Sometimes it's needed in our workplace. Sometimes it's needed at our college. But how many times do we exchange our comfort for someone's soul? Because we get nervous, because we get afraid, and we forget that God is with us. Something else I think we sometimes exchange for other people's souls is time. You know, time is a valuable commodity. You know, it's not one of those things you can save and be conservative. You know, be frugal and you can save up. You can't save up time. Our time upon this earth is short, and we have to keep our priorities right so we use it in an effective way. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'm 22 years old. Time is short. Doesn't matter how old you are. This life is passing by. And how many times we lose perspective on life. We forget about the value of the soul and we escalate other things up. And we say, well, I'm not going to talk to so-and-so because I don't have time. I'm busy. There's only so many tomorrows. And the scary thing is not everyone has tomorrow. You know, tomorrow I'll do this or that. You might not have tomorrow. There's only so many tomorrows in our life before it ends. Both for spreading the gospel and becoming a Christian. Time is short. We can't let our opportunities pass us by. And you know what's so sad is that so many times our opportunities are right beside us. And sometimes we ignore them. I'm student teaching right now. And sometimes your kids will get a little mischief and you have to decide on that line of when you address it. And sometimes you just ignore it. And it's a tough line sometimes because if you let it go, they're going to keep doing it. But sometimes we look at a situation and we say, if I ignore it, it'll go away. Unfortunately, that's what we do with some people's souls. We say, not today. Today's not the day. I'll have tomorrow to talk to him. We might not. We might not have tomorrow, and neither some of our loved ones. We have to be mindful that time is so short. And everyone wants to do something at a convenient time. And we see that in Acts chapter 24 and 25. The Bible still has things that are so true today as they were back then. And in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, it says, "Now as they reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call on you.'" There's only so many tomorrows, brothers and sisters in Christ. There's only so many tomorrows for the lost. And how often we exchange time for people's souls. We have to take advantage of those opportunities because we have a limited number of them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Behold, now is an acceptable time. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not next month. Today is the time. You know, many times when I preach lessons, they're more for me than the people that are listening. I just hope that you need to hear it just as much as I do. There's only so much time left. There's only so much time left. We cannot let these opportunities go by. Every time I preach this lesson, I think of somebody I should call. Every time I preach this lesson, I think of those people in my life that I've talked to before that I probably need to talk to again. And then I think about those people that I've never talked to. We have to think of what is the value of someone's soul. What would you exchange for it? Would you exchange your popularity for someone else's soul? I want this earthly relationship, so I'm not going to talk to you about the gospel. Well, I'm not comfortable talking to people, so I'm not going to spread the gospel. Well, I don't have the time. I'm not going to spread the gospel. Are we exchanging something for other people's souls? I think it's a question we have to ask ourselves each and every day. And we come up with excuses. We have fear. I know all these things come up, all these excuses, and the Bible gives an answer for all of them. But really, the simple answer is this. What is the value of a soul? What would you exchange for your own soul? And then flipping the question, what would you exchange for someone else's soul? It's the most precious thing that we have. I always like to think from the lost point of view. I would want someone to tell me. I would want someone to tell me if I was lost and going down the wrong road. There's a song that always gets me. I didn't get a chance to look in the hymnals if you have it here, but every once in a while we'll sing it at Dewey Avenue. The song's titled, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." And the lyrics go like this, of the chorus. "You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the way to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me." Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a charge I don't want against me. On Judgment Day, you know, I mean, we don't know exactly how what's going to all happen. The Bible tells us a little bit, but I don't want anyone talking to the Lord and saying, of course, he knows all things, so it doesn't matter. But I don't want anyone saying, "Lord, you know, Kyle was one of my coworkers and he never mentioned Christ to me. You worked with me for 5 years and you didn't think it was important to mention Christ to me? You were a family member of mine for a lifetime and you didn't mention him to me? How long have we been friends? You have never mentioned him to me? You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the way to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. In the hallways, in the stores." I mean, what are we doing? What are we exchanging for people's souls? We have to examine ourselves. And that's a great thing about being a traveling preacher, sub-preacher, is I don't know you. for the most part. I know a few individuals. I don't know you. If the message is resonating with you, it's not me. It's the message. Are there some people that you need to talk to? Are there some people that you have been exchanging something that you shouldn't for their soul? We use mirrors to examine ourselves. You know, before we left this morning, we probably looked in the mirror, make sure our hair's down. My hair always sticks up back here. Got to check that it's always down. When we look into the Word of God, do we like the reflection we see? Do we match up with what the people are doing in the Bible? Because I know every once in a while when I look at the standard of the Bible, I flinch. Because I am not matching up to what the Bible example is. I don't match up. I'm like, oh, I need to fix that. Ah, I need to correct that. Just like we would do with a physical mirror. I think Christians have unfortunately bought into this idea. The idea is that it is Christian to be silent. I think Christians have bought into that idea. I think many of our brothers and sisters have bought into that idea, is that you can win people to Christ with just your example. You don't have to talk to them. Silence is Christian. Silence is not Christian. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" But the problem is today, I don't think some of us can honestly say that. Have I become your enemy because I have told you the truth? Because we have just said, I'm not going to tell people the truth because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to lose my earthly relationships. I don't want to be uncomfortable, and I don't have the time for that. I don't think we can honestly say, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because we have decided to lay the truth aside and rest in silence. Silence is not Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not an idea we find in the Bible. It's not what we see from Jesus. It's not what we see from the prophets of old. And it's not what we see from the Christians and the New Testament. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But just remember, what is the price of a soul? I know we all make mistakes throughout life, but the trick is not becoming complacent and stagnant when it comes to spreading the gospel. We have to remember the soul's worth. Every time I preach this lesson, I always have those people that run across my mind. People that I need to call again. People I need to talk again. People that possibly I've been exchanging my earthly relationship for their eternal relationship that I could possibly have with them. Or possibly I'm exchanging my comfort. Or possibly I'm exchanging my time. For most of this lesson, we've been mainly talking to Christians and our obligation to spread the gospel to others. But if you're a non-Christian in our audience, I hope you've at least got from the lesson that the soul is priceless. The soul is priceless. The Bible tells us that we have to hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. We have to repent of our sins, Acts chapter 17, verse 30. We have to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10. We have to be baptized, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and then we'll be added to the church. Then we have to live a faithful life, trying to spread the gospel. So the main question is if you're a non-Christian, is you know, what are you exchanging for your soul? You know, maybe you say, I don't know it all. Well, then maybe you should study some. Kind of get back to that idea of time. But the main question of this whole lesson is found in the simple idea in just one verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? A simple idea. The soul is priceless. And we have to be willing to do what we can do as we live upon this earth to convert others to the gospel of Christ. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, we ask you to please come forward as we stand and sing.